Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, a weekly talk show where we discuss one primary topic, the dog. If you just happen to stumble onto our program today, you might want to hear our past shows by going to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show, and you'll see an entire page full of podcast links. All you have to do is click on any subject that interests you, sit back, relax, listen, and learn. My guest today is Susan Belanda. Sue is a regular visitor to the Doghouse. She's been training dogs since 1961. Her specialty is training dogs for search and rescue. Sue has written 6 books, numerous articles, and has been published in the Proceedings of the Journal of the National Association of Search and Rescue. She's trained dogs for drug detection and even mold detection. Sue also heads up a program at Kutztown University in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, for students who are interested in becoming professional dog trainers. Sue and I will be talking today primarily about dogs that are adopted from shelter and rescue organizations. But before we talk to Sue, please let me tell you about the services I offer right here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to the Doghouse, Sue.
How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. Well, the reason I wanted to talk about shelter and rescue dogs today is because, to be honest with you, I didn't get so many calls this Christmas for puppies, but I got lots of calls from people interested in training their newly adopted dogs. So I thought we would talk about that today, primarily about adopted dogs.
Okay.
All right. So one of my questions is I'd like to find out from you what your opinion is, if there are any advantages to adopting a shelter dog or a rescue dog rather than purchasing a puppy from a breeder or a pet shop.
Well, yes, there are. There are the main advantage is you don't have to go through puppyhood. And puppyhood can be very trying. You know, every dog's an individual, so even if you pick a breed that's supposed to be quieter or not as active, it doesn't mean it won't, the puppy won't at some point destroy your house or, you know, with every puppy, you have to go through house training.
Right.
And obedience training.
Mm-hmm.
And just general manners.
Mm-hmm.
And as cute as puppies are, it's like having a human baby in the house.
Right.
And, the thing about getting a dog from a shelter or a rescue group is that there are many of these dogs are trained, and what's very unique right now, as sad as it is, many people, because of their financial situations of, you know, foreclosure of homes
mm-hmm.
and things like this, they're giving up dogs that are perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the times where you have more dogs in shelters that don't have problems than I can ever recall before.
That's so interesting.
You have a better chance of getting a perfectly okay dog from a shelter now than you would, say, 10 years ago.
Okay, that's great. So there are advantages. So when somebody adopts a dog from a shelter, do they always get to know where the dog came from or how he wound up there in the first place?
Not always. Not always. First of all, sometimes people just drop the dog off and they don't, you know, they don't even turn them in. They tie them up at the shelter and leave them. Sometimes these dogs in the shelter are strays. People will just turn their animals loose, and maybe because they don't know about a shelter and they're desperate. And sometimes people don't tell you the truth about why they surrender a dog.
That's the unfortunate thing. That's a problem.
So if you do adopt a dog, you have to be prepared to accept the fact that the dog may not work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main risk of adopting a dog.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage is you can pretty much see what the dog is like, but the disadvantage is it takes 3 to 6 months for a dog to adjust to a new home.
Right.
And their behavior can change. And it is not a crime to say, well, this dog isn't suitable for my family, because you have different types of dogs for different types of families, and like I tell my clients, you wouldn't marry the first person you saw walking down the street. You can't expect every single dog to be a perfect match for every family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's better for the dog if you don't keep it if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And let the dog get in a situation where it can work out.
Right. Or that dog might do well in another situation. Maybe that. Don't you think that even they may make impulsive decisions at the shelter, just like people make impulsive decisions about getting puppies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they base their opinion on the looks of the dog, always so cute, and I love this breed because I had it before and my dog was so perfect. This dog is definitely going to be perfect, too.
Well, people do that, and the real thing is you have to, not every shelter has the ability to evaluate dogs properly, and that is subjective anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you can test a dog, you can observe a dog, but it's not conclusive. Because, again, like I said, a dog will change as they live in a home.
Right.
And you can only test the dog as he is that day in that environment.
Well, let's talk about tests. I know that there are some shelters that actually have a specific temperament test that they use. And so they'll do that test within the first few days of the dog arriving at the shelter. Do you think that it's important that anyone who adopts a dog ask whether or not that dog's been temperament tested or not?
Well, it's better to have temperament test than not. But I don't think the temperament tests are entirely reliable. Where they do come in very well is if the dog is a resource guarder or shows aggression tendencies, then, you know that right up front.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what the dog's real personality is going to be like, if he's going to be, you know, active or quiet or playful or not, the temperament test is very hard to test for that stuff.
Okay. Before we go any further, I want to open the lines for people if they want to call in. If any of my listeners would like to ask Sue a question or me a question about their adopted dog, if your dog came out of a shelter or if you adopted from a breed rescue organization, you're welcome to give us a call. The number to call today is 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360 if you have a question about your own adopted dog. So, Sue, these temperament tests, what exactly do they test for? You mentioned the word resource guarding, and I'm not sure that everybody listening knows what that means. What is that?
Well, resource guarding is when a dog protects things. It could be food. It could be a bed. It could be a space. It could be anything. And they get possessive of it. And they sometimes they'll bite if you try to go near the object that they're protecting. And there's a lot of reasons why dogs would behave like this. One of the primary reasons is because they had to fight for their food coming from a puppy mill environment.
Okay.
The thing is that, you know, the temperament tests are just a guide. But in extreme cases, in dangerous situations, a dog that's aggressive, a dog that's withdrawn, a dog that's fearful, these are things you want to know right up front. Things that are more what I call idiosyncrasies are not really testable.
Okay. So if you adopt a dog, let's say, and this happens quite often, you adopt a dog and you bring the dog home and he's very quiet, he seems very well behaved, and then within a short period of time, sometimes within a short period of time and sometimes in a couple of months, you may start to see the dog becomes possessive or protective about his food or protective of a particular person in the house. Why is it that there might be a delay in that appearance of that behavior after the dog comes out of a shelter?
Well, this is part of what I said earlier, where they really show their true personality as they adjust to being in the home. The dog starts to, you have to understand it, when you get a dog, even a little puppy from a breeder, that dog has no clue why he was taken from one place and brought to another.
Right.
They have no, we have no way to communicate that to the dog. It's not that they're not smart enough to understand it, but we have no means of communication to explain something like that. So the only way the dog gets to understand that this is his new home is by being there for a while. And once they're there for a while and they start to settle in and they start to feel like, yes, this is now my home, then they start to feel that they have the right to behave certain ways. And those ways that they behave are going to be dictated by their past experience, by their genetic makeup.
Right.
For instance, a Boston Terrier would be less inclined perhaps to be protective or guarding than a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd because of his genetic makeup. I'm not saying that there aren't Bostons that do that, but you see what I'm getting at.
Yes.
So you have the genetic makeup of the dog is going to dictate in part how they react to claiming a place as theirs. And then as far as a dog getting possessive of an individual, it's because they like that person and they decide that person belongs to them.
Well, it couldn't that happen because they already have the experience of losing one human and one home, and now they want to make sure that that doesn't happen again, so then they become overly protective.
Well, that's a real part of guesswork on the mind of the dog. I mean, truthfully, we don't really know what dogs think.
True.
Nobody does.
True.
Anybody that tells you that this is what a dog thinks or this is how a dog feels is really doesn't know. As I tell my clients, there are only two beings that know what's in the dog's mind for sure, and that's the dog and God, and there's nobody else.
Right.
So to say that the dog is afraid he's going to lose another family member is really, I guess, a wild guess.
Okay.
There
right.
could be a lot of reasons why a dog would behave that way, and it's all guesswork.
All right.
The trick is to see how the dog reacts, how the dog behaves, how determined the dog is, and how responsive the dog is to treatment, whether that can be fixed or not.
Okay. One of the things that I see as not so common necessarily, but it does occur, is that dogs can come into the home, be fine with, let's say, the husband and the wife because they both went down and brought the dog home. but within that honeymoon period might then develop an issue with men. Do you find this to occur for a specific reason, that he could accept the husband and not other men?
Well, if the dog is going to dislike a particular gender, it's going to be the man more than the woman.
And why is that?
Because men have deeper voices.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, when a dog is threatening or is defensive, their sound of their growls, their barks get deeper. The higher the pitch, the more playful,
mm-hmm.
until it gets real high, which is then fear and pain.
Mm-hmm.
But women have a voice usually that it just brings about more pleasant to a dog than some men,
right.
who have these real deep voices. By the same token, the dog who will listen to the man and not the woman is for the same reason, because the voice of the man is more authoritative.
I have a client now who, he can't help himself. He's just got a deep voice, and he's trying desperately to get his dog to trust him, and she is learning, except that she just is very afraid to make eye contact with him, and he can't really go around talking to her like he's a girl.
No. What men have to do in that case is they have to play the lighter, fun. They have to do more reward-based stuff with the dog and teach the dog that voice is normal and not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it depends sometimes on the dog's background, how they react to that.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It's the 5 o'clock shadow on a man's face, because dogs read facial expressions and you know, if you look at dogs that have natural coloring like wolves, coyotes, foxes, you'll see they all have an emphasis around the mouth and above the eyes.
Right.
And men tend to have that where women don't, because women don't have beards and mustaches.
Not normally, no. 856-227-1360. If you'd like to talk to us about your own shelter or rescue dog, we'd love to hear from you and hear what your thoughts or questions would be. That's 856-227-1360. What about house training issues, Sue? Should people who adopt a dog from a shelter assume that the dog might not be house trained and just go back to house training 101 when they get them?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
House training issues. Would you suggest that anyone who adopts a dog from a shelter assume that the dog does not have any house training skills?
House training.
Yeah.
Well, again, you're going to find that out in the first day or two.
Right.
Sometimes a dog that is house trained will have an accident in a new environment because the schedule is off.
Right.
I've had cases like that. Somebody's adopted a dog, and the dog was used to a routine, and the person changed it, and the dog just had accidents,
mm-hmm.
and they changed the routine.
Mm-hmm.
You should assume... Let's put it this way. If you have an area outside you want your dog to use as his toilet area,
mm-hmm.
whether he's house-trained or not, you have to show it to him,
mm-hmm.
and make it clear that this is where you want him to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it makes the dog's life easier if you assume the dog doesn't know anything and just show him and reward him for doing what you want, so that it's less confusing. I mean, think about stress level. To the dog who's in a new place, new rules, new areas, and he really has to guess a lot of his life situation. So the less he has to guess, the better he's going to feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and what about people who wind up feeling very sorry for the dog, whether they know his past history or not? They feel like they need to make it up to the dog for any kind of trauma or any kind of negative experience he's had. Is there any kind of negative effects from treating a dog like he's pitiable?
That is one of the worst things you can do to a dog. You lavishing a dog with a lot of affection, spoiling them, giving them treats, all that kind of stuff, letting them get away with things that you normally wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
sends the wrong message to a dog. Don't forget, a dog only knows what you show them.
Mm-hmm.
And what you show them is actually, to the dog's interpretation, is establishing the rules. And if these rules that you're establishing are not going to be the norm, how do you explain to the dog later that this is now not acceptable?
Right.
The other thing is that a dog's social system and their means of communication are a lot different than people's. And where you intend something to be a sign of affection, the dog may interpret as a sign of weakness and feel they have to take over, which then gives them the authority to reprimand when you don't do what the dog thinks you should do.
So when you're talking about that, what are you speaking about specifically? What do we do with dogs that would confuse them on this issue?
Kiss them. Kissing them on the face.
Oh.
I'm not saying you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
but you have to establish the relationship and the rules first,
mm-hmm.
and establish yourself as the rule maker,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not at all implying that you be dominant, okay?
Thank you.
I'm mm-hmm. just saying that it's a relationship issue, and then you can do stuff like that. But if you take a little puppy, first of all, when a mother dog comes back to the litter, all the puppies run up to her, and the first thing they do is they kiss her around the mouth.
Okay.
They do that because instinctively that triggers feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And they get fed doing that. That is an instinctive survival behavior, even though it's not necessary with domestic dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the puppies understand that when they do this, it's a sign of submission. So if they submit, they get fed.
I see.
So now this little puppy who knows this very well because he grew up with it, and it's instinctive to the dog, comes to your home, and what do people do? They pick that puppy up, and they put him up to their face, and they start kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this right. little guy thinks he died and went to heaven.
That's right.
Because all of a sudden now, hey, I am king, and I didn't have to lift the paw to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets the wrong message. So what we intend to be a sign of affection, the dog takes it as a signal that now he's king of the hill, and it gives him the right to growl, to snap, to bite, to reprimand, which is the way dogs reprimand.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean if a puppy does that he's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But this is dog rules. This is dog's ways. Dogs bite. Dogs growl. That's what they do.
And then they call trainers and tell trainers that my dog is being very dominant.
That's right. Because you told him he could be dominant.
Right. Right. Okay.
So this is one of the worst, and carrying puppies around is another bad thing,
mm-hmm.
Especially people that get little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They carry them, and this is especially bad because it creates an addiction to tactile stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why a lot of little dogs will solicit you to pick them up and to pet them and then turn around and bite you.
Oh, my.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you have to let the dog be a dog. Dogs are dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want a dog to be a dog, don't get a dog.
Correct.
So,
get a stuffed animal.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you've got to let the dog be a dog. So don't pick them up. You know, they're little, they're cute, they're cuddly,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do it because you're messing the dog's head up.
Okay.
The same thing as letting them sleep in bed with you. More behavior problems occur because of that.
Thank you for mentioning that. Can you, having them sleep in the bed with them, especially when they first come home from a shelter, really sends out the wrong message.
Oh, yes.
My goodness gracious. Talk about...
And it's not a question of being cruel to the dog. It's a question of letting the dog understand the rules that he understands.
Mm-hmm.
Is setting behaviors and rules that the dog can interpret correctly in terms of setting the relationship between you and the dog.
Right, right. So how soon after someone adopts a dog should they begin the obedience training? So many people think that they need to wait a couple of months before they start. Do you agree with that?
No, I think they should start pretty much a week or two after. If the dog is in the home, he's eating, he's playing, he seems to be okay. I think training should start as soon as possible, providing that it is positive training.
Right.
You know, no dominance, force, jerk, pinch collar, electric collar, alpha rollovers, or any of that you got to be the boss type training.
Mm-hmm.
That can traumatize a dog. Those training methods have been outdated and scientifically proven to be wrong, although a lot of trainers still do use them. These are people that, in my opinion, who have not kept up with the latest research. So as long as it's a positive, like clicker training, reward-based training, gentle training, then I think you can start, because it helps the dog know the rules and it builds the communication between the owner and the dog, which is going to make the dog adjust faster because he's not as confused, because he's not basing everything on guesswork.
Right. So a lot of people have expectations of these dogs that are totally out of whack. And so they bring the dog home, some people, and we talked about pitying them, but then some people go to the other extreme where they have expectations of them where the dog can never meet those expectations. And then they start scolding, and then they start doing all of these harsh punishment type of tactics that they see on TV because they promise that this will work.
Right.
This is so detrimental to the dog.
You know, dog training, whether you're a trainer or a client, is an issue of teaching and showing. If you become angry, you're no longer in control. You're no longer able to teach and show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So frustration, if you get frustrated, it means you need to go to your trainer and you need to talk about it because it's not working and you have to change your message a little bit or your expectation.
Right. So what do you think? Have you seen an upswing in the adoptions that are occurring today because of the economy, or have you seen something different in your location?
Well, I really, I'm not on the pulse of that right now. I think that there's more people surrendering dogs than before. That much I do know.
Really? Yeah, because of the economy, right?
Right. And I think there's always a shortage of homes for these dogs, and it's just sad because, unfortunately, the dog suffers and they don't deserve it.
Right. Well, listen, you are just a wonderful person, and I just love you when you come here. I think that this topic was a really good one, and we could go on and on about it, and unfortunately, we only have a 30-minute show. So I do thank you so much in enlightening all of us about shelter and adopted dogs, and you have to promise me that you're going to come back really soon, and we'll talk about another issue concerning our pet dogs.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sue. You have a great day, and Happy New Year to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey. All right, Duke, I know. We don't have much time left. So I do want to make one announcement that was sent to me. Camden County College in Blackwood, New Jersey is offering a 12-week course in animal-assisted therapy and activities. This course trains students in the techniques of bringing pets to visit seniors, children, hospitals, and nursing homes. Classes begin on Saturday morning, January 22nd. If you want to register, contact Camden County College Continuing Education Office at 856-374-4955. Or for details, you can call 856-627-5118. I also want to let you know that our program for next week, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Nicholas Dodman from Tufts University in Massachusetts, and we're going to be talking about the needs of the senior dog, the dogs that are older, and what their health needs are, and what their training needs are, and what we can expect from them as they get older. So I hope you all have a wonderful day. I hope you tune in next Thursday to Thursday in the Doghouse from 10 to 10:30 on WNJC 1360 AM. I'll talk to you later. Bye, everybody.